houses of worship can't meet, I plan on continuing to have our church open. Now, our services will be online. You can watch them online if you feel safer if they do that. There are 22 states right now that have put more restrictions back on churches. But usually our services don't get up on Sunday now. We take a little longer. And we'll be recording them from in here. So the church doors are going to be open. If you want to come, come. If you feel more comfortable at home, stay at home. I don't know what they're going to do. We really don't know what's going to happen. But it's just so you know, if you hear Pacente say, you know, no more than 10 people. How many are you going to have less than 10 people at your house on Thanksgiving? I mean, you know, come on. That's not going to happen. By the way, we have a good sheriff in our county. He said there's no way they're going to do that. It's just not, it's not even constitutional. Can you imagine somebody, that you talk about communism, coming into your house and telling you how many people you can have in your house. For me, for us, my wife and I, we couldn't even have all of our kids and their spouses at our house because it's more than that. It's way more than that. And then forget the grandkids, they couldn't come over because then we'd be, you know, triple, quadruple some of these numbers. So this doesn't make sense. But so don't go by that, okay? We'll put something on the internet. If something changes, we'll put it on our website, and you can go by that. But don't just go by what Pacente says around here or what King Cuomo says either. I don't know what he's going to say, but anyway. So just, we'll see what happens. That's all I can tell you. Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to get there in a few moments if you're there. 2 weeks ago, I said, I guess it might have been 3 weeks ago because Brother Tom was here a week, and I mentioned that what a spirit-filled person looks like. And I said they demonstrate the 9 characteristics of the Holy Spirit that are mentioned in Galatians 5. I said they have a joyful, thanksgiving heart and a submissive spirit. That comes from this reference here that we're going to read here again. Look at Ephesians 5, verses 18 through 21. And be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So they have a joyful, thanksgiving heart, and they have a submissive spirit. Also, they have power to witness from Acts 1:8. And then the fourth thing I mentioned was these characteristics glorify God. Now, what about change? Because a lot of people, you know, we talk about change, of people changing and growing in the Lord. What about that? Sometimes people think that or say that they're filled with the Spirit, yet here's what they exhibit. They are disagreeable, they are emotionally unstable, and they are difficult to live with. Now, that person isn't filled with the Spirit of God. They don't exhibit any of the 9 fruits of the Spirit in their life when they're that way. They're kidding themselves, and such behavior really is not caused by the Holy Spirit. Others who claim to have some kind of an experience with the Holy Spirit negate their claim by continuing to manifest the works of the flesh. What are the works of the flesh that we'll talk about a little bit? Anger, jealousy, worry. There is a man, a gentleman, who called me with this election. He is so worried about it, he is on antidepressant medications. Now, I said, you're not filled with the Spirit. You don't have any faith. Is God still on the throne, or isn't he still on the throne? I mean, the poor guy, I feel bad for him. But, you know, it's just so simple. You're not filled with the Spirit of God because your faith is so weak. And then he wonders this, can I get strong faith? But so people exhibit these things because they fail to see that the Holy Spirit wants to change every part of them, including their emotions and their behavior. People who are truly filled with the Spirit of God show it in their behavior. Now, the best way I know to clarify that term is the word control. And you guys can come on in. And I want you to notice when we talk about control, what's going on here in Ephesians 5:18. It says, be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So in that verse, it's compared negatively to somebody who is controlled by alcohol, or you could even say controlled by drugs. A drunk person is controlled by the substance. He's not filled with the liquid, per se. He's not filled with the drug. It only takes a little pill sometimes to make people all kinds of out of control. But if that substance controls him, it will alter their behavior. It'll alter their behavior mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Now that's exactly what God is saying here in this text. Instead of being filled with mindless substance that controls our behavior, we should be filled or controlled by the Spirit of God, meaning that the Spirit will control our emotions and our behavior and how we respond and in how we act. Now we see this when our weaknesses are controlled by the Holy Spirit and we are like new creatures, because when a person is saved, that's exactly what they become, a new person in Christ. You don't have the power of God directing your life and act the same way you did when you were controlled by your old fleshly nature. That's all changed. You don't think the same way. You don't act the same way. There's so much of a change. You act differently because you are under new management. You are under the management of the Holy Spirit of God when you are filled by the Spirit. You're not controlled by the illustration that Paul uses here. You're not controlled by a substance like alcohol or drugs or something like that, but you're controlled by the Spirit of God. And you manifest the fruit of the Spirit. What we are emotionally, okay, we are. But listen, when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, we will be dominated by those 9 characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit that are mentioned in Galatians 5. Not only natural emotions like anger and selfishness and fear and depression and so on, those things will be gone. Some people say this, I just can't help it, that's who I am. No? If you're a child of God, well, let me say it this way. You're right, that may be who you are, but the Spirit of God can change all of those things. That may be who you are naturally, but that doesn't have to be who you are when you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, by the way, where is it seen most definitely? In the home. Maybe in the home is the best test. Some people put great emphasis on speaking in tongues, healing, stuff like that. But I'm telling you, a better test is the home. Why do I say that? Because the Bible places it literally in that context. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21 that we've read is right before, or it precedes, the longest passage in the New Testament on the family living. It gives instructions on how wives treat their husbands, on how husbands treat their wives and their children, and how children should obey and honor their parents. So in the Bible, I do believe this, the Bible is written in flow and content. And if this place taught where it talks about being filled with the Spirit is right before the family, I think it is fair to draw this conclusion. If you are not controlled by the Spirit of God at home, you aren't controlled by the Spirit of God. Now listen, you might be able to exhibit a Spirit-controlled life at church. But anybody can exhibit a Spirit-controlled life at church because you're only here a few hours of the week. That's not a big deal. Or maybe at work, but probably the flesh comes out there sometimes. But it should begin at the home. Why is this? If we can't live it at home, if we can live it at home, we can live it anywhere. So I am telling you, a lot of people's problems, and I know I've said this before, it boils down to the fact that people are not filled with the Spirit of God. Oh, they think they are. They'll tell you they are, but they're not. They're just not. Now, I'll say a little more here in a moment. So how are we filled with the Spirit? First of all, I want you to look at verse 18 again. It says, be not drunk with wine where is in excess, but then it says, but be filled with the Spirit. I would say that's a command. I would say we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God. You need to understand that. It's not really an option. We are to be filled with the Spirit. You see that? God never makes it impossible for us to keep his commandments. So it is possible for every born-again child of God to be filled with the Spirit. Now let me give you a few steps that will help you to become filled with the Spirit of God. Number one, examine yourself for sin. The illustration here in this text. Is being drunk a sin? That's not a hard question, folks. Is being drunk a sin? Thank you. It is a sin. If you read the book of Proverbs, you'll have all the references you need on alcohol. Being drunk is a sin, okay? So we examine ourselves for sin. There is no exception on the idea that being drunk is a sin. It's always a sin. So I just want to look at a few other references. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. Peter said, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Sometimes people forget, and so you need to take heed to certain things, and you need to examine your life to make sure that you remember that you've been purged from these old sins. Now look at one other reference, if you would, with me, please, and that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You say, well, Pastor, I know that chapter, and that chapter is about the Lord's Supper when we do communion. I know that. But look here, verse 28 in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink that cup. So before we share communion together, and we've got to plan another one, but before we do that, we always have a time of self-examination. Should that be the only time we examine ourselves? There should be other times we examine ourselves as well. As a matter of fact, you've probably heard it said like this, keep short account of sin in your life. So we examine ourselves, and we constantly keep examining ourselves. Now, this self-examination is not to see if we measure up to the standards of other people. Look, if you compare yourself to me, you could look pretty good. But who are we supposed to really compare ourselves to? That's right, Mark, Jesus. So when we compare ourselves to him, now maybe we don't look so good. So the first thing we're going to need to do is examine ourselves. So you can measure yourself to the standards of everybody else or the traditions or the requirements of the church, but to see if we measure up to the previously mentioned results of being filled with the Spirit, what can we look like? We measure ourselves according to the Word of God. And let me say it like this. So, do we glorify Jesus? Do we have power to witness? Do we lack a joyful, submissive spirit? Do the 9 character traits of the Holy Spirit of God or the fruit of the Spirit, are they evidenced in our life consistently, all the time? And by the way, nobody is filled with the Spirit all the time. We all struggle with that flesh. We all can get angry. We all can lose it once in a while, okay. We all can blow up. Maybe, I don't know if you get that bad or not, but I suppose you could. So we need to be filled with the Spirit over and over again. But this self-examination, it will reveal areas in which we are very weak and will uncover the sin that causes them. Maybe it's doubt. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's just a lack of faith. But we cannot. Here's something you might want to do. You might want to pray and say, Lord, show me my sin. David prayed that. There's nothing wrong with that. We ought to pray that. So every day, let me recommend this. I said self-examination, number one. Every day, probably sometime at the end of the day, you ought to examine yourself for sin And you ought to deal with them and confess them and forsake them right then. We'll never be filled with sin and filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time. Sin keeps us from being filled, whether it's anger, immorality, self-willed, critical spirit, fearful, worrisome, selfish, stubborn. They keep us from being filled with the Spirit. So number one, examine yourself. Number two, kind of goes along with it then, confess all known sin. You got to confess it all. So you're in your prayer closet or your prayer spot, whatever that happens to be, and you say, okay, Lord, show me my sins. And you're reading your Bible, and you read something, and the Spirit of God prompts your heart through the Word of God, and he says, and you recognize this is a problem in my life. You should pause right then and confess that sin immediately. John said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? To forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then in Proverbs 28 and verse 13, it says this, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. You'll never prosper if you keep covering your sin up. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So you're to confess and you are to forsake. Well, never mind. We are to confess all known sin brought to mind by the Holy Spirit, including those characteristics of the Spirit-filled life that we lack, or we'll say the fruit of the Spirit. But I'll tell you, until we start admitting our weaknesses as sin and our lack of compassion, our lack of self-control, our lack of humility, anger instead of gentleness, bitterness instead of kindness, unbelief instead of faith, we'll never be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. There's a passage in the scripture that says, Lord, we believe, but then they said, help our what? Unbelief. They even admitted their doubt. Once we start recognizing these deficiencies of sin and confess them to God, the scripture says he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And in 2 Timothy, it talks us how he fills us to be clean vessels. So you got to examine yourself. Then you got to confess and forsake all known sin. Thirdly, turn to Romans chapter 6, please. Verse 11. He says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Thirdly, then, submit yourselves completely to God. Don't hold back anything. We sing that song, I've decided to follow Jesus, no holding back, no holding back. Don't hold back. Don't hold back nothing. To where we are completely available to God to do anything that the Holy Spirit of God directs us to do. We submit to God completely. A lot of Christians have not completely surrendered and submitted everything to God. They've submitted this, they've submitted this, they've submitted this, but they've hold on off on this. If there is anything in our life that we are resisting God, that will always limit the Holy Spirit of God in our life. Do not be afraid to give yourself to God. Can I tell you something? You will never find a miserable Christian in the center of God's will. Do you ever find a miserable Christian? Ever meet one? I have. You know what they're not? They're not in the center of God's will. I mean, anybody can figure that out, I suppose. But there are miserable Christians out there. And you'll never find a miserable Christian, though, that is in the center of God's will. God will always accompany his directions with an appetite and a desire to do the will of God. Resisting the Lord through rebellion always stifles the filling of the Holy Spirit of God in our life. Israel said in Psalm 78:8, and might not, Israel said, the psalmist said, this is what Israel did, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast toward God. You don't want to be like Israel. You don't want to be like that. We must yield if we are to be filled with the Spirit, just like a man yields himself to sin to fill him, just like the illustration of the drunk in Ephesians 5. We are willing, I should say we should be willing, to do whatever the Lord would have us to do with no strings attached. His plans are always better than our plans. The attitude of yielding is necessary if you are to be filled with the Spirit of God. Your will may be the will of the flesh. And the Bible says the flesh profits what? Nothing. Never profits. Being yielded is being available to the Spirit for God to use you. Peter and John in Acts chapter 3 were on their way to the temple. They were going to go there to pray when they saw this lame man begging for alms. Being sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God, they healed him. In the name of the Jesus of Nazareth, they healed him. The man began leaping. How's that song go? The leper started leaping and the preacher started preaching and the church would never be the same, or something. That's a cool song. I like that song. Anyway, that's my favorite verse of the song. But anyhow, so the leper's healed. Preacher starts preaching, Peter, and the leper's praising, and the crowd gathers to hear. Peter's still sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He begins to preach. And the Bible says in Acts 4:4, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. They had to stop their plan about going to pray in the temple and do whatever the Holy Spirit took them off their track they were on, and they did what God wanted them to do. All I'm saying is we need to be available for God to use us. It's very easy to hold back something from God. A favorite hobby, a pet sin. But God is a jealous God, and he won't share your affection with others. I'll tell you what I did when I went to Bible college. I was ready, still am, I think, ready to give everything up to God. Whatever it is, God, it's yours. And now most of you know I like to hunt. I like to hunt, fish, and ride my snowmobile. That's all the hobbies I need, okay, right there. I sold all of my guns but one. Now, since then, I've replenished the shelf, okay? I'm in looking better shape. But I got rid of all of my guns but one because I thought, if God wants me to give up everything, I'm willing to give up everything. I kept one gun for protection. You never know, right? Especially today. Man, you never know today. I don't want to disappoint you, but if you don't have a handgun permit in the state of New York, I don't know that you can get one right now. In fact, I'm almost positive you can't. You guys should have had them, including you ladies. You should have had them a long time ago. But anyway, that's another subject. So I got rid of my guns. I had a beautiful beagle. I'm not an animal lover, but I loved my dog, Beagle. Susie, her name was. What a beautiful dog. You know, she was a gunner. You know what that means? That's the dog I hunted with. So I'd take her out, and we'd run rabbits. She'd run the rabbit. A rabbit always makes a natural circle. So eventually, that rabbit would circle back to where she started, and I'd shoot that rabbit, take it home and eat it. I just loved hunting rabbits with my dogs. Got rid of my dog. I didn't even keep her for a pet. I should have kept her. At least should have kept her for. I've only had a few dogs in my life I loved. That happened to be one of them. Mark, do you remember that dog? Do you? He was a good little dog, and I could take her in the woods, never have to put a leash on her. She behaved better than most kids I know behaved. Okay, that dog behaved well, but I got rid of her. I got rid of my guns. Now, then finally somewhere I learned, the Bible does say God has given us all things to enjoy. But the point is, you need to be willing and available to God that you'll give up anything with no strings attached. That's the point of submission and yielding. It's very easy to hold things back. One of the Ten Commandments that the Lord mentioned was this, thou shalt have no other gods before me. In Luke 10, he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Total yieldness to the Lord. You will never, ever regret it. Number four, ask God to fill you. When you pray, pray for a filling of the Holy Spirit of God. In Luke 11:13, the Bible said, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Ask him. God, fill me with your Spirit today. I can honestly say I pray that prayer more than once a day, but I pray it often. Once we've examined our sin and confessed all known sin and yield ourselves without reservation to God, we're ready to receive the Holy Spirit by asking to be filled with him. I ask several times a day. And then fifthly, believe you are filled and thank him. Believe it. In Romans 14:23, the Bible says, and he doubted is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. I ask God to fill me, but I don't know. Is there known sin in your life? Well, no, Pastor, it's all gone. As far as I know, I'm right with God. Have you yielded, completely submitted, and surrendered everything to the Lord? Yeah, I've done that, yes. Have you asked God to fill you? Yes, I have. Then you need to believe you are filled, and you need to thank him for it. In 1 Thessalonians, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, some people fail right here. Do I believe I'm filled, or do I go away after I ask God to fill me in unbelief? A lot of people walk away in unbelief. If you sincerely, honestly have taken the first four steps, and I mean honestly, sincerely, believe him and thank him that you are filled with the Spirit of God. Now let me say this. Don't wait for any feelings. What kind of feeling will I get? Maybe none. I just was curious. How many of you actually had some kind of a feeling when you got saved? Let me see your hand. One, two, the very few of us. Because salvation isn't a feeling either. Now, if I had a feeling, I felt like this little. Okay, I felt terrible. I felt awful. My sin just was like, overwhelming. But I didn't feel like I had this heavy burden lifted. I didn't feel anything. I felt like, wow, I was a child of the devil. And I just became a child of God. That's awesome. And it was like, God, I don't see, my sin is so gross and disgusting, I don't see how you can forgive me, but I'm glad you did. I took God's word by faith and believed that he saved me when I asked him to save me. Why can't I trust God when I say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit? Why can't I trust him to say and believe he did it? You believe he did it and you thank him for it. Don't wait for feelings. You don't need to wait for physical signs. Fasten your faith to the Word of God. Did you know the Bible is independent from all feelings, pretty much? Believing you are filled with the Spirit is just taking God at his word, and that is the only absolute truth that we have in the world today is our King James Bibles, and we thank God for it. Now let me say this. We are to walk in the Spirit. Turn with me to a couple other verses, Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16. This I say then. Now, look at the next few words. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The reason some of us struggle with the flesh, we're not walking in the Spirit. Simple conclusion, right? Then look down at verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We got to walk in the Spirit. And I will say more about walking in the Spirit in another day, but they are closely related, but they are not exactly the same. Once we are filled, and only after we are filled, can we truly walk in the Spirit as we guard against grieving him or quenching him. Now, if you go back to the five things I mentioned, each time we become aware of that sin, it creeps into our lives. We follow that five step that I just gave you a few minutes ago. We can be filled in a moment of time. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not a single experience. Somehow I came across that talking to some, and it had to be a 3 or 4 weeks ago. I've seen three people this week. I've seen three people less, I don't know how long. I saw, that doesn't count my wife and Jamie and Lily. I saw Brother Case for a few minutes, and then I saw Brandon and I saw Bree. You know, you actually don't have to see everybody every day. Just a newsflash for some people, okay? But anyway, but that's all the people I've seen. So it had to have been 2 or 3 weeks before that. But this poor fella, he just can't take God at his word. He just can't. So you can be filled in a moment. And here's what he said. I thought I was filled when I got saved. What really happened with the Holy Spirit when you got saved? If he was confused on this, I want to make sure you're not. What happened when you got indwelt? The Holy Spirit of God moved within you as soon as you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you put your faith in him, you're indwelt. The filling is not the same as the indwelling. You are filled as you live a godly life. You are filled as you walk in the Spirit. You are filled as you live in the Spirit. You are filled as you ask the Holy Spirit of God to fill you. And when you fall away, the Spirit of God and the sin, they don't go to well good together. But you don't lose your salvation. You don't become unindwelt with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God still indwells you, but you may need to be filled numerous times. Anyway, it's got to be repeated many times over and over, and sometimes, I've said already, sometimes more than once in the same day. You can do it driving your car. You can do it kneeling down. You can do it standing up. You can do it anywhere, anytime, any place. You can be filled with the Spirit of God. To walk in the Spirit is to be freed of your weaknesses, because those weaknesses are overcome by being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I'll say more about walking in the Spirit, but understand you can be, please believe the Word of God. God's not going to give you a command where he says that you can be filled and then you can't be filled. You can be filled. We all can be filled with the Spirit of God. All right, short lesson today. You guys got a little time to fellowship. Father in heaven, how we thank you for your grace and goodness. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord, you have given the Spirit of God to us to convict us, to guide us, to direct us, to teach us, to lead us, to empower us, to fill us. And Lord, as he fills us, we can, by your grace, it's not manufactured by us, we can demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. And quite frankly, and it may be hard to hear sometimes, but the best place to see it is how we are at home. Your word puts it right before the family. And so I'll put it there. But Lord, we are to be people that walk and are filled with the Spirit of God. Help us to see the truths of this. Help us to get a hold of it. We've been talking about it for several weeks now. And I just pray that we'll grasp it and we'll be excited about that. We actually can be filled and used by the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, go to the